Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Tonight we're looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. We'll see each one of those verses, each one of those words from those verses on the screen, and you can follow along in a Bible, and there are Bibles available in each of the four corners of the church if you want to pick up one at any time. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Scripture. It's the basis for all that we do, know, and believe. And so show us now what it was like and what it meant then and what it means now and what it means forever. The birth of Jesus Christ. And there's a special way that you reveal this birth through the verses that we're looking at today. Speak to us about what this means, what it means for us now, here, today, in our lives, in our world. And bring change. Bring change to our hearts as you bring change to our world through your word, and bring glory to your name through that change. In your name, Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Christmas is a time for dreams and wonder. And our Christmas carols and songs declare this. Our stories and books and movies describe this and take us on journeys based on this. For most of us, O Holy Night or It's a Wonderful Life or even Home Alone, you know, opens up something inside of us, even if we're jaded and carrying around laminated Scrooge cards in our wallets. Well, we cannot deny then that our affinity for all things Grinch is based on the fact that we want the dreams and wonder part of Christmas. We want it back, the part that we may have lost touch with somehow due to our exhaustion with the holiday grind, our difficulties at home maybe, or something else that has caused us to feel broken in one way or another. Dreams and wonder. Well, where did all that start? It didn't start with a songwriter. It didn't start with a movie producer. It's not the brainchild of some Madison Avenue think tank. No, it's much older than anything in our culture or any tradition. Even if it's not music or film that unlocks your Advent imagination, but food and desserts. Well, there were none of your favorite Yuletide treats back in circulation then. They weren't there when the dreams and wonder part of this night arose and captured our attention, captured the attention of every person that heard of it, the attention and affection of every person that heard of it. The dreams and wonder part of Christmas started thousands of years ago on the other side of the world with the birth of one baby boy. And he was like no other ever born and no other born since. He was the only one of his kind. He was, as he is, the Son of God, God the Son, the Messiah, Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Deliverer, Rescuer, King, Healer, and Light of the world, all in one baby boy. And to add to all that's amazing about his birth, the birth of this one baby boy, the gospel writer Luke framed his account of his birth using two groups of people, those in power and those not in power. And this great human power divide is something that some of us still feel. We can feel it tonight, maybe. It's fresh for some of us right now. Some of us might feel powerless, invisible, marginalized. That's kind of the experience of most human beings on the planet Earth. And we're regular people. You know, that's what we are. We're trying to stretch our dollars, right? We're trying to love our families and friends and raise our kids if we've got any and stay healthy if possible and pay attention to what matters most and not fall asleep during a Christmas Eve service, right? We're regular people. We're regular people, but we don't want to be. None of us enter dreams and wonder. Still, we are not in control of as much as we'd like to be in control of. We're easily frightened by just even the thought of any downward change in our circumstances. And the Holy Spirit gives Luke this insight. The Holy Spirit knows this about us, and we can see it, we can read it in his word. And he shows us this insight in how he shows us the details of the birth of this one baby boy. Luke tells the story of this birth using literally the most powerful people on earth at the time, in contrast with the least powerful people on earth. You've got the highest of the high, Caesar, on one side, and the lowest of the low, shepherds, on the other. So let's start at the top. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. The ultimate power on earth is the power of paperwork and administration. If you can make people fill out a form, you rule. If you're being made to fill out a form, you're being ruled. The one making you is the ruler. Never forget the prophetic utterance, deep and timeless wisdom of 80s rock and roll. I fight authority. Authority always wins. A few of you remember that. You go back that far. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And so we can see the difficulty here. Yet despite this forced registration, and our attention is being drawn to this by Scripture, despite this forced registration, we get a glimpse here that someone more powerful than even Caesar is coming on the scene. We know from previous reading that the child Mary carries is like no other ever born and no other born since. He comes from a very special lineage, not just the lineage of kings, but the lineage of the King of Kings. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. He is born, that one baby boy, the one. And the circumstances of his birth are not merely quaint or humble, not just offered to us to inspire nativity scenes of every kind. No, these circumstances are disturbing for all who hold power, because Jesus, from the very beginning, refused to play a broken world's game by a broken world's rules. No, he's come to perform surgery, a kingdom transplant. And in this, he reaffirms the one universal principle of human power. It's temporary. You might have great power in this life, but here's the rest of the story. You have great power in this life for now. Whatever power you may have, however great it may be, you will lose it along with everything else. To quote Job chapter 1, verse 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." But then there is this one baby boy whose birth we celebrate this night, who changes the nature of even this. He who was God became naked like us in birth and death to set us free from death and its source, sin, and its destination, hell. And where does God send his angelic army? You've got to send an army to announce something like this. And God, he's got an army, It's called the Heavenly Host. His angelic army. He's got to send this army somewhere. Where does he send this army to announce this indescribable revelation, this unmatched birth? Well, of course, he's going to send the army to Caesar Augustus. Of course. The greatest human being on earth, the one who is so powerful, he makes all the world fill out forms, right? He's the one to tell first. Take me to your leader. The most important birth in all creation and history must be announced properly and appropriately. All who hold temporary power must now receive news of the birth of the one who holds permanent power. So yes, it must be the greatest of all. Caesar, that's the one the angels must address on this glorious night. But no, it isn't. It's not Caesar who receives this announcement. And this fact changes everything. This is the moment dreams and wonder are born in our hearts and minds. The world can be different. We might be under the thumb of some human authority or some situational authority or some circumstantial authority, but it no longer defines us or owns us. We matter now. The regular people, the powerless people, we can dream and wonder now. And God demonstrates this beautifully in the Christmas Eve assignment he gives to his army of angels and their angelic leader, the angel of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now you don't go to college and accrue massive student loan debt to become a shepherd. You go to college so you don't become a shepherd, the kind of shepherd we're talking about, the kind of position that shepherd represented back in this day. Shepherds in this time of the place, where they were the lowest, the dirtiest, the poorest, the least socially desirable humans on earth. Their presence was the last place you'd expect God's angels to arrive and bring the most important announcement ever. But here they were, and the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." God said, "I'm changing everything. You matter now and forever. I'm making a way where there was no way, using the body and blood of my one and only Son. This gift is my peace. This light is my glory. This news is good. This joy is great. This Savior, Christ and Lord, is and will always be yours." Verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths." He's still speaking to the shepherds there, the angel. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So this is not just where our church, Goodwill Church, got its name, in case you were wondering. On top there is the King James Version of the same verse, and that's where Goodwill Church got its name. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But this is really where the entire church for all time got its start and its charter. We are the missionary outreach of heaven with a mission to bring gospel faith, the source of peace with God, to all in our world who seek it. Verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made us, Lord has made known to us. Can you imagine what this was like for them? I wonder how long a pause there was after the angels left and one of the shepherds spoke up and said, well, we should go check this thing out. I mean, they had seen the angel come, then the heavenly host, they're glorifying, praising God. Then they go away, and there they are. The sheep are still there. Sheep probably didn't even look up. And finally, one of them says to another, well, let's go. And they did. They went. Verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Christmas is a time for dreams and wonder, and now you know why. Now you're reminded why, and there's more. Our hope comes from his birth, because our salvation comes from his death. And there's a special hymn in the hymnal that we use next door in the Lindsay Pullman Chapel that describes this. It's called a communion hymn for Christmas. Listen to some of the words for it as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. Gathered round your table on this holy eve, viewing Bethlehem's stable, we rejoice and grieve. Joy to see you lying in your manger bed. Weep to see you dying in our sinful stead. Prince of glory, gracing heaven ere time began, now for us embracing death as Son of Man. By your birth so lowly, by your love so true, by your cross most holy, Lord, we worship you. With profoundest wonder, we your body take. Laid in manger yonder, broken for our sake, hushed in adoration, we approach the cup, Bethlehem's pure oblation freely offered up. Christmas babe, so tender, lamb who bore our blame, how shall sinners render praises to your name? Do your own good pleasure in the lives we bring, in your ransomed treasure, reign forever king. And all of God's people just had to say, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the men now to pass the elements of communion. This is for all who believe. If your children are up, if they're with you, it's up to you as parent, as guardian, whether or not they partake. It's important that all who partake believe. What does that mean? You believe in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross as payment for your sins. You're not taking communion because you have a good record as a person or a believer or a Christian. In fact, that flies against the meaning of the gospel. We come to him because our record is not good enough. There's no good enough. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so by taking communion, by singing these songs we've already sung, by praying the prayers we've already prayed, we say to God, God, we need you. Jesus, we need you as Savior. We need you to do what you came to do, what you were born to do. We're the ones you came for, and we're saying yes to what you offer us because you offer us yourself. In these moments, just consider your life, consider all that you've done, even this season, to prepare for what's to come later tonight, tomorrow, with your family, however else you're going to experience the holiday that used to mean holy day. That's where we get the term holiday, the holy day. Holy means different, set aside. It's a set aside day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. How has he been faithful to you? How has he drawn you to himself? Have you sensed his forgiveness in your life? Is there still something you're holding on to? Still something you're telling God, hey, I've got this. You know, I'm I'm going to take care of this part of my life. I'm going to take care of this sin, this error, this problem, this weakness, this flaw, this fault. The invitation tonight, the invitation of the gospel is to hand all of that over to him and then hand yourself over to him as well. He says, come to me, all you are weary, and I will give you rest. Your rest is found in him, in Jesus Christ. And he did this. He was born to do this, what this table represents. He died. He did this. He died so that you might live. Pray with me if you would. Thank you, Lord, as the elements are continued, they continue to be distributed and we receive. We're all going to wait until we've all received and then we'll partake together in unison. And Lord, this shows us that what you did, it affects not just our individual relationship with you for each one of us, but our relationship with one another. You've made a way where there is no way. Now there is because of Jesus. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you. Lord, set apart these elements, this bread and this cup, for a holy purpose on this Christmas Eve, that they be to our faith your body broken, your blood shed, to pay the full price for all our sins and to set us free from sin and death and hell forever. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.